This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Woohoo! It's not Monday.
Welcome to Newsmakers, folks. Dave Boyne got Monday off, his favorite thing. Hey, this is Brent DeHart. You are listening to KYKN Newsmakers, and this is the place to get the local talk and the local happenings. Today, there's so many things to chat about. So many things. I've been holding back on you,
You've
Dave.
Been holding back?
Yep.
Oh, so nice.
And some of them really fun things. So stick with us, folks. We're here for your noon hour every Monday through Friday with, of course, Wednesdays with Denise. Short week here. And I want to say a congratulations. We had a shout out. Sometimes we shout out to the people in the community who hit the news or do something extraordinary, be it a soccer player or some Little League folks or an entrepreneur. Today, coming out of KYKN Studios, our former intern. We had an intern here in the studios
called Aubrianne. Yeah.
And a charming young woman, very talented, intelligent. And she left yesterday, folks, to Washington, D.C. She's going to be a White House intern.
Wow.
Very, very cool. I asked her, I talked to her on the phone a little bit late last week. I said, how does one get that?
Right.
How do you get selected? You think you have to be, you know, Ivy League person or in the know or related to a congressman or something.
Something. Got to know somebody.
Or Monica Lewinsky, right?
Wow.
But no, it's an application process.
Okay.
And what are your, what are your volunteer experiences? She said she had to answer questions like, what positions of the administration do you agree with? Kind of thing.
Wow.
Very interesting. And sharp young woman. So very, very excited for her. I think she's going to be there for a few months. And that's not an opportunity I've ever known anybody to get.
My niece did it once.
And that is awesome.
Yeah.
You're up to two people in your life, the White House interns. Aubrianne, we congratulate you. Good luck. And hopefully we'll interview her after 3 or 4 weeks and you're there in the White House and you call us and tell us what it's like to be
on a special
president.
Line.
Yeah. President Trump's White House. NSA will be listening, of course.
Of course, yeah.
So we'll be in great shape.
Will she call us from the bat phone?
So right here in our community, a Corbin student last year.
Nice.
So cool stuff. Additionally, some of you people might have noticed something going on out of the Salem Airport. Some aircraft you don't usually see around here.
Mm-hmm.
We had some fun things happen in the last couple of weeks. And yesterday was a big surprise. We had a big surprise. A week ago, however... Gulfstream. I heard of Gulfstream.
Yes.
They're the,
private jet company.
Private jet company. You know, every rapper sings about their G5 or their G6. Folks, that means Gulfstream 500, Gulfstream 600. When you watch the movies and you see the private jet comes in, it's almost always a Gulfstream.
Right.
Yeah, it could be. There's a lot of other manufacturers. Not a lot, but there's a handful of other manufacturers of high-end jets like that. But the movie makers almost always pick a Gulfstream to highlight.
Because they like to be in the movies. Actually, I think Gulfstream donates them.
Yeah, it could be.
Because they're going to crash them eventually, right?
Speaking of promotion, so Gulfstream decides that they needed to do some footage, some aerial footage of the Gulfstream's beautiful aircraft flying through the beautiful skies, and they chose the Pacific Northwest to do it.
Sweet.
Yeah, their new 550 model and 650 model, and this is where they're going up, and you've seen it if you've seen a promotional video, or even it might be an industry promotion. Yeah, like a commercial, but it's probably geared towards a very specific target market. Anyway, so they chose the Northwest, and out of the Northwest they chose McNary Field in Salem to base this thing out of.
That's
so
cool.
We had two Gulfstreams out there, brand new, spanking new, beautiful. And in addition to that, they brought a B-25 bomber.
What?
Well, they brought in a B-25 bomber that has been specially modified to do this work, to do the photography work.
Really?
So it's got special mounted cameras in the nose and for video in the nose and things like that, and also a camera operator positioned in the tail of the aircraft.
Wow.
Right? So for 3 days, they took off out of Salem, caught them, whatever. They come to the Northwest, I guess Canada, our two big places for them to do these things because of the greenery and the mountains and presumably oceans and the skies and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So in case you heard some rumblings coming out of the Seattle airport.
That wasn't you?
It wasn't me. It wasn't my Gulfstream.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't my Gulfstream.
When you do get one,
those are the new
know.
Models.
Yeah.
So I have an older model, of course. So that was
and
very
cool. I haven't
cool.
been invited to ride in it yet.
We do not see that every day. So that's pretty awesome. And then yesterday, this aircraft would have normally flown in and out of Hillsborough because they were doing some support service. And I don't even know the whole story, but it was a military aircraft. Do you know what a C-130 looks like?
Yes, big, big honking thing.
Gigantor.
They are huge. Yes.
The things, in the movies, folks, when you see them like roll 40 Jeeps out of an aircraft.
That's a C-130.
That's a C-130. These massive cargo planes that can take like planes inside of them.
They're right. Huge, they're right? Huge, yeah.
So if you can imagine, if you've ever flown, folks, in a 757, right?
Close to it.
757, 767. 757 is what I was told. The wingspan of the C-130 is 30 feet bigger.
Wow.
Than a 757.
That's big.
It's a big thing. It was parked out there in Salem. They loved us, gave them good service, bought a bunch of fuel because they were doing operational support for some maneuvers. So great to see the military stop and use Salem. They were also flying. Unfortunately, we lost some of their activity down to Corvallis and this and that. But they based with us yesterday or the day before. And yeah, it's very exciting. We don't see C-130s in Salem.
No.
We do see Black Hawk helicopters. We do see some military aircraft. We see Apaches, things like that. But a C-130 is a pretty rare sight. Very, very cool thing. Yeah. That is Salem Airport. That's fun stuff.
That's like seeing a stadium land in your airport.
Yeah.
It's huge.
And people, even city councilors, they're like, well, who uses the airport anyway? That's just a big field for rich people's toys and blah, blah, blah.
It's yeah, like, okay. Mm-hmm.
No, it's industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's industry and it's military and it's emergency preparedness and it's life flight and it's so on and so forth.
Soon to be commercial airline service. Where are we with
yes.
that, by the way?
We are in a process. The community... committee that's working on this is still trying to raise up to our goal of $1 million of local funds to be an incentive for the airline.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of complicated, a little too complicated. So if you want to read about it, just go to flysle.com, flysle.com, because that is our airport code.
I think there's a link on our homepage, kykn.com.
So, we're close, though. We're about 750,000.
Nice.
So another conference to recruit next month, coming up next month, and hopefully meeting with airlines by the end of the year. But we do have to get to that revenue guarantee incentive. We were asked, that's a very good question. Maybe we'll carry this over after the break. We were asked, well, why do you need an incentive? If the numbers are here and enough people are flying and this is a great market for them to come and make money, why do we need an incentive package? Right? Got asked that recently. And it's pretty simple. It's because everybody else who wants airline service, they're bringing a package. Because
right.
we're in a competitive situation. We're a very, very competitive. You know, it might be Chattanooga, Tennessee. It might be Peoria. Who knows where it is? Kalamazoo, I know them because I saw them at the last conference. All across the nation, a lot of people have compelling stories. Salem has a compelling story. The entire Mid-Valley, three-county area has a compelling story about how, you know, this is going to work. The
right.
numbers are absolutely there. But other communities in the nation have compelling stories, and they have an incentive package. So it just is. That's the marketplace. When you're the one recruiting, you better bring with something to a table. So if you're recruiting a five-star athlete, you can't say, yeah, we may or may not give you a scholarship. Hello, because USC is going to give them a scholarship.
Right.
Well, that's their incentive package.
We have home cooking.
When you are the when you're the recruiter, when you're the one who's doing the recruiting, you better come with a package. And that's just the way it is. It's similar to when economic development. If you're trying to attract somebody like Amazon,
mm-hmm.
You can sell them on the quality of the workforce. You can sell them on the stability of the economy and the natural resources, the availability of land. You can sell them on a whole bunch of things. But that doesn't mean you don't need enterprise zones.
Right.
Because Texas has an enterprise zone, and Chicago has an enterprise zone, and even New York has enterprise zones.
They want streets to come in and out of their business and places to get right. their product to the airport, and that's why they're over there by the airport.
It's good stuff. So, folks, if you're supportive, and I'm actually flying to PDX this afternoon, so I'm leaving 4.5 hours before my flight just because...
You might make it on time.
If I left 2.5 hours before my flight, it would take twice as long.
Yes, so. It would.
Hey, we got to take a break, but let's finish this up. And plus, we got to give some hot news about the child welfare workers in Oregon. Okay. That's coming up after break as well. My name is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne, and we're chatting with you on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers proudly brought to you by our friends at Color Tile of Salem. And Brent, it's giveaway time. This weekend in Sublimity, it's their Harvest Festival. It's going on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, September 6th through the 8th. And this ticket is good for, we'll give away a pair. It's good for one of those days. All right. So 503-393-1430, first caller, 503-393-1430. You get a pair of tickets to the Sublimity Harvest Festival this weekend.
I'll be on. Sublimity. Yeah, that's where they hold that.
I hope so.
Wow. I'll be going to that. That sounds fun. Yeah. I like all the local fairs and festivities. There
festivities.
We go. I had trouble getting that out of there.
Tuesday.
Welcome back, folks. Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne. We were talking before the break about the recruitment of airline service back to Salem. I cannot wait. This will be the second time in a month I'm flying out of PDX for like a 24 plus or minus day trip.
So you're saying it's going to be fun.
Going to PDX and back. No. Lovely airport. Lovely. I hate getting there.
It's voted one of the top ones in the country.
It's a very nice airport.
It's getting there, man. Yeah.
So, and you know, we just need it in the Mid Valley. We're going to lower our carbon footprint, folks.
Right.
Not exactly. Sitting in traffic before we get on our plane. So the one question that they asked, we were addressing before the break, is why do we need an incentive package? Because we're recruiting,
right?
And everybody else does. So we have to bring a little bit of guaranteed income for the airline in case everything goes sour, in case we don't support them to the degree in which everyone believes we will.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a bit of insurance there, and the city of Salem waives some fees for a couple of years, 24 months of waiving some landing fees and some free rent in the terminal kind of thing. So that's part of the incentive package. And of course, to be able to market the new service so that we can let everybody know. And everyone from Corvallis to Wilsonville to McMinnville and all the way up the canyon, everybody knows that the flights are here and where they can go and where they can connect. So all of those things are in place with one more piece. So flysle.com, folks, please join us in our effort. Do a pledge, a non-binding pledge. And we'll get that $750,000 already pledged from local private sector people and companies. And we got to get it up to $1 million before we go meet with those airlines and say, our package is complete. Let's go. And so, we might see 2020 flights.
Wow. Okay. That's exciting. So my next question was, in this recruiting thing, how many markets are they going to expand to? Are they just saying, oh, we're only going to do one? Are they going to go to five?
Great question. The situation is the airline has limited resources. They've decided, you know, there's X number of aircraft, mm-hmm. and they're going to put them in the place that they can make the best return on the investment in the aircraft. You know, they're not going to come to Salem, and they're going to come to Wichita or anywhere else without thinking that they're going to make a return on the investment of both the human capital and the aircraft themselves. If they could schedule it to go Des Moines, Chicago and make more money, then that's where they're going to schedule it.
Right.
Right. So, and in the longer term recruitment, sometimes they have to actually go secure an aircraft to open up new routes.
Oh, wow.
So it does depend on the airlines and their business plans and how many aircraft they're bringing online and how fast they want to grow and so forth. The other question we get asked a lot is, well, why aren't they just coming for your incentive package? Aren't they just going to come and take your incentive money and walk away with our money?
No.
Yeah, that is like a flat out no. And it's prevalent that people think that, but it's very well established. Contacts with the airlines have told us, our consultant has told us, other consultants have told us, people who used to work for airlines have told us, there's no way an airline's going to come here for incentive money. Doesn't interest them in the slightest. They're going to lose a lot more money if it fails than the incentive money.
Right.
There's just, they're only coming if they believe it's going to work, and then this is a little bit of risk management is what it is. It's not we're going to make you whole, United Airlines. We're not going to make you whole, Alaska right. Airlines. It's like, here's a little bit of risk management should our startup costs and income not be as great as we want
so
it to
after,
be.
So after a year, that incentive money, where does it go? To the advertising?
After 2 years.
2 years.
Everybody, yeah, 24 months. After 2 years, anybody who pledges and puts into the incentive fund, and if we haven't used it, it all goes back to you.
Nice.
Yeah.
Where do I sign up?
So with me on the website, flysle.com. Oh, okay. All right. Minimum revenue.
I'm not personally giving you a check.
Guarantee. No, it'll go actually FlySalem, who is our marketing organization for this whole region for
okay.
tourism. They're going to hold the money as a fiduciary account and so forth. And the numbers are just there. So if everything goes the way it should go, we're not even going to use that money. But it needs to be parked there as assurance that, hey, if this area does not buy the tickets that we are currently buying flying out of Portland, if we don't choose Salem, if we don't fill the seats and the revenue doesn't reach a bare minimum,
right,
then they get to tap this money.
Okay.
So what do we have to do? We have to go out of our way to fly out of Salem. So right. Tonight I'm going to Reno. If the flight was out of Salem, I'd be going Salem, San Francisco, Reno, or Salem, Seattle, Reno. I'll do that.
Right.
We're all going to do that to fill those seats and make sure they're successful so that we can attract the next flight. Got it?
I got it. That's cool.
So the incentive money, people don't think that way. That is
it's an investment on your part. After 24 months, you pretty much get it back.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Think of it that way.
And yeah, the airline is not coming for the incentive money.
No.
That's just crazy talk, people. It's well established.
It's like a down payment to say, we'll support you if you come here.
That's exactly what it is. Dave, you're very wise.
Thank you.
And it is a
Once
sign.
In a while.
If we can put it together, then that is a sign to them that there's community support.
Right.
It is that as much as it is the money. This is a sign that there's a widespread support for this, and there are right now there's like 80 plus companies and individuals that have pledged that say, hey, we want to see this happen. And when the airlines start flying, guess who's going to sit in those seats? The people who have money in this revenue guarantee
darn
fund,
right? Yeah.
Right? Because yeah. they're like, well, I want my money back in 24 right. months, so we're going to be fly out of Salem.
I wonder how much Amazon put in.
Zero so far.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, they should be putting in a lot more if they want to fly their stuff out of here.
I would love to see them fly their right? stuff out of here. Maybe in a C-130, right?
Right?
But
that's
right
how
now.
You get, that's how you get your Amazon delivered
right now.
Now.
They're going to bring in their goods by truck, and they're shipping it out by truck.
See, that's...
But it'd be great to see it come in and out.
A few flights need
freight.
To happen with them.
All right. Something,
who do I need to call? Sorry.
Amazon.
Oh, okay.
Amazon. Cadbury. So changing the subject entirely.
Cadbury?
Yeah.
Wow.
So did you see this?
180.
So, yeah. It's not even. It's just like from another universe. I'm just okay. going to pluck this topic out. This is all connected to this talk we have about how people in America, not just international, but how people are looking to hate. They're looking for an opportunities
what?
To just hate. So Cadbury introduces this candy bar. Maybe you guys saw it on the internet or something. And it's all these different colors of chocolate. You imagine a Cadbury bar with the little squares.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
And some of the squares on one side are white.
Okay.
And then you get really, really dark chocolate on the end. And you got milk chocolate and mocha chocolate. And so okay. it's like five colors in this one candy bar. And
oh,
it's
that's cool.
Celebration of diversity in one candy bar
oh,
kind
okay.
of message, right?
Is that the message?
They got blasted for it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It was.
And they got blasted for it.
Yeah. At least...
What
you know,
for?
The media likes to pick up people who blast, but oh well. I can't even remember the ridiculous
Should
people
I look
making
it up?
Comments.
I gotta look
but it's
it up
like,
now.
Well, we don't like the way you're celebrating diversity. Or
I'm
that's
sorry,
a
what?
Stupid idea and blah, blah, blah. So the pro-diversity people don't like the way somebody promotes diversity, so they have to insult them and blast them. It's like,
hello, that's a little wrong.
What is wrong with you people? We know what's wrong with them. They're very miserable. They're miserable, unhappy people, and they stay miserable and unhappy because they scour the internet for reasons to be unhappy. Why don't you go, huh, that's a little silly idea, and let it roll off instead of just blasting them with public relations saying, oh, well, you know, they should, the candy bar and blah, blah, blah. Really? Can you believe it, folks? This is an example where people just, and this is related also. We want to talk about, I want to talk about, I don't know if Dave wants to talk about it, the Straight Pride Parade in Boston.
What about it?
Another example of people looking for hate. They look for hate and they look for reasons to hate.
You and I have talked about this before with social media because they can do it almost anonymously.
Yes.
They say whatever they want to say with no backlash of them or... consequence of their actions.
When are people, you know, maybe even that think like them, the other pro-inclusion people saying, you know, you really shouldn't be blasting people that are on our side. Maybe you shouldn't be blasting
okay,
people.
Okay, let's go back to the Cadbury Unity Chocolate Bar.
The Unity Chocolate Bar.
Celebrating India's diversity.
All right, right. It was introduced in India.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's celebrating India's Independence Day. And they're being blasted for it.
Here's a quote. This is as absurd as Kendall Jenner fighting police brutality with a Pepsi. Like,
what?
Another critic. Congratulations to Cadbury for solving racism. Like, can't they just do something nice and you have to hate on them? They didn't solve racism. They're just, my God, they're on your side, people. So when the extreme left and the thought police, you know, turn on each other, it's just insane. That's when you want to stop. I mean, I don't know. You just want to stop listening entirely.
Yeah, right. So this, it would be hard to be a business owner right now trying to do a good thing like this. That's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like when Starbucks had their Christmas cup. Remember that? They got blasted for that, for having... Christmas tree
well, celebrating and, Christmas
and,
does
and
mean
Santa
hate.
And Santa on there. Yeah, they got black backlash for that. So this, wow, this makes no sense.
All
for
right,
that.
A couple quotes, folks, and we can juxtapose this. This is from Cadbury, right?
Yeah.
India's a diverse country with people of different castes, creed, languages, religions, regions, everyone living together, but not always with love. Cadbury Dairy Milk is loved by everyone, wanted to send a powerful message of unity. So we worked with the brand to create the Unity Bar, India's first chocolate made of dark blended milk and white chocolate, all united in one bar. Nice.
That is a
it's
nice
thing. It's
just
nice. And it's even PC.
And it's tasty.
And then somebody has to find something wrong with it. This is another quote. This is everything wrong with diversity, tweeted a person that might have an IQ of 3.
Uh-huh.
We just don't know.
Apparently.
But they get in the news article because it's the news media's job, of course, to... Uh-huh. To promote haters. Continuing the quote, you force in a set amount of predefined difference and it's going to taste awful. I'd rather see a range where you don't know what you're getting to get, but it's going to taste amazing, whatever it is. So they didn't do it the way this person wanted it. They're trying to make a controversy out of everything, Dave. It drives you crazy. It's exhausting.
It has every kind of chocolate I love. I'm going to go buy one of these because it has all kinds of chocolate in it.
You may have to go to India. But do you see what I mean?
Well, I just call customer service with somebody and have them send it to me.
So there's chocolates that you don't love. Is that what you're saying?
I'll give the dark chocolate to my wife. She loves dark chocolate. But I'll take the other ones.
All right, folks. We're going to have to take a break from this very, very serious socioeconomic discussion on hatred in America. We're going to cycle back, though, because I want to know when inclusion stopped including the traditional. Stick with us. I'm Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and this is Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by the friends at Sylvan Learning Center. And Brent and I were just reading over some of the comments on the Cadbury Diversity Bar. And this one person with the tweet handle of University Prof, which I would say they're probably a professor of some sort, says, "I'm going to buy a bar just to upset the liberals." Another country bumpkin says, "Can we please just let food be food, please?"
It needs to be a political statement. And the political statement is flat out like PC, leftist, inclusion, diversity, and... No, you just can't win.
No.
You can't win.
No matter what you say or what you do, going forward with tweets and Facebook and Instagram, you no matter what you do, people are going to hate on it. Happens all the time, especially with these kinds of things. But the politically charged, yeah.
But speaking of which,
yeah.
So the Straight Pride Parade, which is kind of a funny idea.
We were talking
about Boston, right?
Yeah.
It's right in line with this. It is that I'm reading the news reports, and I can't find a news report that says that the actual people that participated in the parade had any negative, hateful, exclusionary, gay-bashing, anti-LGBTQ message.
Because they didn't.
Uh-huh. But all of the quotes of people responding to this parade talked about the hate, talked about the homophobia, and this needs to be stamped out. There were actually more people who were protesting against the march than were actually marching.
Wow.
AOC weighed in. She was very insulting, and I was just like...
Does she have to weigh in on everything?
Yes. Yes, apparently she
does.
The
more she talks, the more stupid she sounds.
That's very true. I was... Rush Limbaugh was talking about the last hour. It was amazing. All right, so here's my question. Here's the philosophical question, folks. We got to stand up because, I'm sorry, sometimes I start this conversation too when I'm describing my family. I'm like, well, don't be a hater, but I live in a traditional household.
Right.
I was raised in a traditional household. I have a traditional household.
Yeah.
And don't hate me because of it, but this is the way it is. And this is, you know, sometimes we start that conversation with people's, you know, financial planning. When people like, let's discuss what your needs are and who's the breadwinner and are you married and blah, blah, blah. But when did this whole inclusion movement exclude? When did it start excluding anything traditional? Why is, if it's traditional, it's hate-filled?
Right.
If you believe in the Bible, you're a hater and need to be silenced and stamped out, right? So why, I mean, I could see how you could see the Straight Pride Parade is a little bit silly, right? Or maybe unnecessary. But to basically say the people who were there, how dare they celebrate that they are straight? It's like you're not allowed.
How come I didn't get invited to that? My wife
well,
and
I've
I
been
were
meaning
just,
to tell you.
My wife and I were just saying, when is there going to be a Straight Pride Parade? Because we'll go.
All right. Well,
I didn't know they were having one.
Maybe you can form one. The Salem's Riverfront Park.
We need to have
parade.
One.
So that's the thing. So people who are Straight Pride Parade, are seen and they are accused of being anti all this other stuff, anti-diversity and homophobic. But the people who are Gay Pride Parade, right? Are they haters of cisgendered people? That's the term, folks, cisgendered. So we can't call ourselves just straight or
the norm.
Cis, cisgendered means you are a traditional man likes girls, girls like boys kind of thing. Cisgendered.
But wow.
Because they are marching in a gay pride parade, does that mean that they hate us? No, they're the lovey people, right? It doesn't mean that they hate us, but they want to portray anybody that has traditional values, traditional faith-based beliefs, or traditional man and woman, cisgendered, and they're proud of it, that equates to hatred. That's got to stop, folks.
Yeah.
You got to push back on that.
That's ridiculous.
I know we all have liberal friends, and we all have people that are not really all that rational. You just have to push back and like, you cannot say you know, lump everybody in. These are the same people that say, you know, don't prejudge and, you know,
yeah,
don't discriminate against and don't judge people, blah, 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 blah. And everybody needs to tolerate everybody. We have to be intolerant and inclusion as long as it doesn't conclude anything that has to do with traditional. I don't get it, folks.
That's messed up.
I mean, this is a serious problem in America.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully AOC will just cook her own goose. And then come next year when she re-election, you know, some Democrat will run up against her and say, you know, she's crazy,
didn't
right?
Didn't the timer go off on that already?
Yeah. We can only hope and wait.
I think she's done.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought the idea for the parade was amusing, but I did not find amusing. And even Fox News and a couple other articles that I saw, all the quotes were about how hate-filled this was. And this was
how
despicable.
How is that hate-filled?
Say it is.
They can have a gay pride parade, but we can't have a straight pride parade?
Right. That's exactly true.
Hypocrite.
It's like you... And it's like even my kids. Now, this is an interesting story. We're white, folks. I don't know. I've described myself in the past as being your stereotypical...
He's white. Trust me.
What do you
me.
Call them? WASP. An acronym they don't use anymore, but you're white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, right? So my kids, they're white, they're growing up white, and I remember my son was a young adult, and he said, you know, it never occurred to me that I was supposed to be proud of my heritage.
Right? Wow.
There was, you know, he'd heard about Hispanic heritage, and heard about Black heritage
right.
and history, he'd heard about Native American heritage and history, and this and this and this, and it's like, never occurred to me that it was even okay to be proud of my heritage. So my kids are Western European descent. The DeHarts have been on this continent since the early 1600s. I am wondering how many hundreds of years a family has to be here before they're considered North American and not European.
Oh, wow.
Right. So whatever that number is.
another 100 for you.
I'd like to be considered, the DeHarts would like to be considered North American and not a European transplant. Because if there's another number there somewhere where you're not North American, you are a Bering Strait transplant, right?
Gotcha.
So how many hundreds of years, thousands of years does it take? All right. So, but the DeHarts, you know, and my wife's grandparents were both immigrants. Both sets were immigrants through Ellis Island, both Northern European. So, folk, I mean, they know where their heritage comes from. Should they be ashamed of it?
No.
Do they need to be ashamed of it? Do they need to pay reparations? Do they need to be apologetic for slavery 100 years before their grandparents, you know, moved here from a country that didn't have slavery? All of those things. But it seems like it was just a very poignant moment for a very young person to have a philosophical question. It's like,
wow,
it never occurred to me that that I should be proud of my family's heritage. You know, they're German, they're Swedish, they're English or whatever, if they're Italian or they're Spanish or whatever, and then they have concerns in our society about whether it's even okay. And there's a far sight difference, folks, for those of you yelling at your radio right now.
Right.
Between that and white power nationalists.
Oh, that's true.
That kind of thing. That's very different. It's
way
okay
different.
To be proud of your grandparents and that were immigrants and they came across and they were skilled carpenters.
Their hard
built
work.
Houses in New Jersey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They can be proud of that heritage.
Their hard work allowed me to have the life I have now.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
But it's what I'm saying, folks, and so it's the pushback on diversity. They have to accept that we're part of the fabric. We are part of the mosaic, and you can't say that if you're white or straight or cisgendered or whatever, and you're proud of your heritage or your traditions, be they even man and a woman get married,
right,
that you are full of hate. I can't get away with that.
No.
They're full of hate. Reminds me of how I saw a list recently of all these things that President Trump has tweeted that were reported by everybody as racist. And there was no racial element to it.
I know. It's
the racial tone for blah. The racial
no.
da, 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 da. I'm like, that's not racial.
Economics. I follow his tweets, and I've never seen anything like that. I don't know where they're getting it from. It's just his rhetoric. And what was that, two or 3 weeks ago? Everything on Sunday morning, you know, the talking heads, which I don't watch, by the way. they all said his hate rhetoric. His rhetoric has stirred up the hate. And I'm like, what rhetoric? What speech? What are you talking about? And they can't quote it. They just say whatever he says something. Well, that's not hate rhetoric.
Because
he speaks the truth.
They interpret it that way.
Because he speaks the truth. That's hate rhetoric. They need to, you know, have their ears cleaned, I think, to understand the truth.
Well, for those of us in the Mid-Valley, we are going to keep our eyes open and ears open for people and push back.
Mm-hmm.
If the hate rhetoric is
truth.
Excluding traditional, you can't do it. Then yeah. we had this conversation when there were that really, really hateful-filled PFLAG guy in the news was equating the city to doing business with the KKK because they're leasing an empty building that's owned by a church.
Oh, I remember that.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, wow, that man is full of hatred
right.
and prejudice.
And that's one person.
Hatred and prejudice, and he's leading the area's PFLAG organization. It's like, wow. Wow.
So we're somehow the
that's where it comes right down to the community.
Right. The general community of the United States is allowing a 0.1% of the population to dictate what is happening to us.
All right, we're going to have to take one more break. Dave, okay. A couple things we have to talk about today. Folks, red light cameras, you're going to want to know.
If
you drive,
I hate those things.
If you drive like Dave Bourne, you're going to want to know where the speeding cameras are going to be.
I do want to know.
Where the red light running cameras are going to be. And also some good news for child welfare. 300 new workers being hired. Just what we've been asking for. We'll get an idea of the timeline on that. This is Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Come right back on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Happy Tuesday, by the way. This segment of Newsmakers brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back, folks. Boy, this is one of those days I wish we had a second hour, Dave. So many things going on.
It's good news.
But there's some good news. Let's change the subject entirely right here at home. And one of the topics we've been talking about here on Newsmakers is the welfare of foster kids in our state. The whole black eye the state has and the lack of leadership we've seen in the governor's office. And I was saying, why don't you hire more caseworkers? Everybody hire more caseworkers. Hire more people to help these kids. And it's finally happening.
So, right.
Might have been in the works for a while, but now they're actually taking applications. They actually haven't hired the first person. I don't know why it's taken this long for them to get to this stage.
Well, because Governor Brown hired or made another committee to look into it.
Yeah.
That's what took so long. I'm surprised it took, what was it, 6 months ago she started this?
Yeah.
And after the two-year one before that?
Yep. And then she hired the consultant. And that's in an article on the Salem Reporter as well. They're crisis consultants that they hired for $1 million. Crisis
Man,
consultants.
Man, I'm in the wrong business.
Yeah,
I could tell.
We
them
all
to
are.
Fix it.
All right, so 300 workers for child welfare. They're cranking it up. A lot of them. They got so many applications. They got thousands of applications for a few hundred jobs. 5,400 applications.
Wow.
So 313 new jobs were posted. This would be a DHS worker, Department of Human Services, to help with the caseload. And the concern, of course, is anybody who has any experience in this is getting burned out and they're going to leave. And who are you going to have? I mean, it's bad enough that we're going to hire 150 or so people to be caseworkers that may not have a lot of experience in this particular problem.
Can the office hold that many?
I don't know.
They're going to have to spread them around.
Can they train them?
Yeah, that's another question.
I'm not going to be critical. If you want to throw bodies at it, then throw bodies at it and train them up as best you can, as fast as you can. So thumbs up, Kate Brown, finally. We want at least to appreciate that you're getting this done. One interesting thing, 313 jobs, as I said, but only 165 of them are actual caseworkers.
Hmm.
And the rest of them are some supervisory, some... office specialist, social service assistant position. So people who are in the office and support staff, but not people who have a stack of cases
gotcha.
That they're there to manage. Susie Jones's file and so forth. So still some jobs are up there. Most of them have closed, but some of them are still out there. They're taking applications, folks, in case you always wanted to be a caseworker at DHS or work for the state of Oregon. They're still accepting some applications for supervisors and caseworkers with needs in Dallas and Salem, McMinnville, Roseburg, Coos Bay, Grants Pass, Medford, Klamath Falls, and Ontario, all over the state. This is
okay. So they do. They have enough office space then.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was just here in the capital.
I bet they could use 165 if in just Marion Polk County.
You probably
that would be. So throw the bodies up and try to get them trained as fast as possible. Try to retain the people that are there. Although I'm going to contradict myself. It's like, are the people that are there so entrenched in a dysfunctional system that they're not going to jump on board a bunch of changes that are necessary? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. Or are they going to absolutely jump on board because they're one screaming for it? Maybe we've got a listener that's a DHS caseworker. I'd like to call us sometime. Or email Dave at KYKN.com.
Yeah,
right?
We'll do it anonymous.
Dave at KYKN.com if you're a DHS caseworker and you see these influx of bodies. And will they help? Maybe you can help educate our listener.
That would be a cool conversation.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting. I think I've stated in the past, my wife who did work for a subcontractor of DHS and worked with some of these caseworkers and saw firsthand when she walked in what their caseloads look like and what they're trying to accomplish and how they had procedures and processes that didn't help them get to a conclusion.
Oh, wow.
Right? Yeah, it was very, very eye-opening. So hopefully we can get somebody in and talk about that. But 300 child welfare workers, great start. It's nice to hear. Folks, these are they're kids that have probably been taken out of the home because of incarceration and arrest in terms of it could have been child abuse, right?
Right.
It could be drug use in the home, whatever it is.
It's
could
an unfortunate domestic situation for the child.
But the child needs all the help it can get, folks. Yeah. And the state has not been doing its job. And we've had our share of statewide embarrassments, starting with, say our education graduation rate and things like that. So red light cameras. Got to get to this really quickly. So they're going from monitoring to see if you stopped at the red light, and then the flash goes off and you get it.
Right.
They send you a ticket, right? So they're adding Commercial and Madrona. They're adding Commercial and Kubler and Center and Hawthorne, all high volume intersections for a lot of those violations. It's designed, supposedly, according to the city manager, to reduce, infractions and reduce people's speed. They're also issuing citations of speed, catching you with speed and a camera, 25th and Mission, where a red light camera already exists.
Okay.
Commercial and Marion Street, where people are turning onto the Marion Street Bridge or coming
without stopping.
And they're turning without stopping. They're going to add the speeding if you're blasting through that intersection on Marion Street or on Commercial. And then Silverton and Fisher in the Northeast. It already has the red light camera. They're adding speed. So, folks, Silverton and Fisher, the Center and Hawthorne, Commercial and Madrona, Commercial Kubler. We can talk about the philosophical argument about this and whether it saves money on cops another day. That's your warning for today. We'll talk about it again. Thanks for joining us. We're going to do this again on Thursday and tomorrow, Wednesdays with Denise.
See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Fenton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.